So we've got a bit of a scene here, though. So we've got Russell's got his sausage out.
Yep.
Chris has got his pants off. And he's banging the table a lot. So we're in a bit of a situation.
Like a dog on heat.
Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Men. This is episode 36 of the Pouring Old Men podcast. My name is Russell. I am one of your hosts. Pouring one out with me today, we got a couple of old school tub thumpers. He sings songs that remind him of the good times. He sings songs that remind him of the better times. It's Warren Crawford.
That's a throwback, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And pissing the night away, it's Crystal next door.
Holy shit. That was great, man. I like that one.
Thank you.
Is like the biggest part of your week leading up to the recording is trying to figure out what you're going to say to introduce
it's probably the most stressful part because I ran out of like beer-related things a while ago, so I've been trying to think of anything else.
Yeah.
And I normally don't think of it until like, you know, an hour before the podcast. I'll think of something that,
That's it. That's
or, you know, normally if we're over at Pity's house, I'll be driving over there. I'll finally get an idea or something like that. Or it does take a while. As you can tell, the quality is iffy sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's usually good. Yeah. Actually, before we kick off,
go on. Well, technically, we have already kicked off, but
kick off the beers.
Fair enough.
Get on the beers. I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you.
Oh, okay then.
And it's about my military expedition last week. When I was getting ready this morning, I was like, Russ, I did promise him a beer.
He's just unloading something from his Hakuna Matata Lion King lunchbox here.
Future King. I did promise you a beer.
You did.
And I was also, on the way over, listening to the podcast.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if I want to give it to you or not.
Well, I did forecast. I probably lost the beer privileges. So,
No, look, I'll hand it over.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this one. Just give me the Dark Harvest Fresh Hot Black IPA. Expect an opinion on that one next time we record.
Yes.
Thank you for all that. I thought I'd put that in danger of getting that one. So, well, I mean, I did let you grab my pickle beer last year. So,
yuck.
Hey, that was a cracker.
Yeah, I'll leave it with you.
I should have bought one back from New Zealand for him.
It
really is something to experience, honestly.
Experience.
Actually, speaking of beers from New Zealand, the next episode will be good. You've got some beers from New Zealand for the next episode that you don't find in Australia, so
yeah, I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah, there's some goodies. I know Chris has already had one of them.
Yep.
From a previous trip.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah.
I highly rate them.
Yeah, okay.
But that's what we got. I'm keen to share them.
Yeah, nice.
Because they've been staring at me the last 2 weeks in my fridge. So, so there's a good chance by the time we get to the episode, I've already emptied and filled it up with like 4X Gold and put the caps back on. So,
well, look, we'll have some interesting things to say about Kiwi beers then, won't we?
Absolutely. Your craft beer tastes on VB. Anyway, who are we? We are the Pouring Old Men. Just a couple of old-timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release fresh episodes of the show into the wild every Tuesday morning on all your favourite podcast services. If you like what you hear, be sure to give us a like, a rating, a review, and tell all your friends. If you don't like us, well, just tell a damn lie. We are the number one, the number one beer podcast in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And we are still the number one Australian beer podcast in Estonia. So we're hitting all the big markets. You can find us on find Pouring Old Men on Facebook, Instagram. Plus, you can find Pouring Old Russ, Pouring Old Pity, Pouring Old Wazza. We haven't got a Pouring Old Prickle yet.
No. That's got a ring to it, though.
Pouring old Prickle.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Sort of suits, doesn't it?
And there you can catch all of our views, reviews, and many more beers that don't make it to the show. So, lads, what have you been drinking?
Ooh,
lots.
Who's going first?
Kick it off, boys.
So I'll try and keep this brief, but there's some highlights there for sure. So I did get this beer a couple of weeks ago, and I was hoping to pick another one up, but I haven't managed to. That was the Bacchus Brewing Salted Caramel Imperial Porter.
Ooh.
And it was like, you kind of go, salted caramel, okay, what's that going to be like?
Mm.
On the back of the can, they said, it's got, you know, subtle molasses flavors and blah, blah, blah. all I could taste was molasses. Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. It was just...
Imperial Porter from Backers, I'm imagining this is at least double digits, so this would be...
Actually, like, it wasn't.
Well,
I'm pretty sure, like, I'll go back and check, but I'm pretty sure it was in the eights.
Oh, okay. That's...
Which is surprising.
That's like a mid-strength for them.
Yeah.
Session ale.
Well, it is, yeah, yeah. But it was an absolute cracker, and I think the thing I really like about the Backers beers is they're always decadent, they're always indulgent, and yes, it was 8.9%.
8.9%, yeah. They just always nail the flavours. Like their mantra is nail the flavour and make it taste good. Yeah, that's it. Not just, okay, it kind of tastes like it, but it's just, you know... Mm. Throw it out the door, people will buy it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, you know, this is the justification for the price tag.
Yeah.
This is what we fail to see on so many other beers.
Yep.
It's like if I'm paying $15, $20+ for a beer, I wouldn't be blown away.
You're paying a premium, you want a beer experience, something different, something that's going to blow your socks off. Although also, you can buy Backers beers on, I think it's either Beer Cartel or Craft Cartel, and they whack on their margin as well.
Yeah.
So it ends up being like $25 a can. A bit steep.
So thoroughly enjoyable. If you do spot a can,
I would. It is probably my great shame that I haven't had more Backers beers than what I have.
Yeah, and hard to find. They're not stocked in a great deal of like.
No, I think just because they do such small batches, it's hard to get bigger distribution.
Yeah.
But then can get them delivered, whatever like that. And yeah,
I believe don't quote me on this, but I believe they only do 300-liter batches, but they do like six at a time.
Yes, they do. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're very small batches, and hard to get them out. So
So that was a cracker. Had one from Ether. I know this was mentioned last week. It's been mentioned a few times. The Creature of the Night.
Oh yes.
Spotted a 4-pack. It's been a while since I had it, and it didn't disappoint.
No,
it's a cracking beer.
Just such a good beer.
Didn't Pity have that last week, too?
Yeah, you mentioned it once he had.
So I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but just it's a thoroughly enjoyable beer.
Yep.
Brewdog.
Screwdog.
Yeah.
I like that. Screwdog, yeah.
Yeah. I know there was some commentary on them last week.
So yes.
Fine, yep. But I tried their Mellow Laser Quest, which was a fairly strong IPA.
Yep.
And it was really quite a good beer.
Okay.
It was enjoyable. It was quite sweet, and it was like an oat cream.
Yeah, yeah.
But had that really marshmallow kind of flavour to it.
Is it the marshmallow style one, is it?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it stood out. It was interesting and quite good. Blaster Brewing. I tried their Unbridled Unicorn.
Ah, yeah.
Which, that was a cracker too. Again, like I think it was 7 or 8%.
Yep.
But just a really good, well done, like simple, hazy IPA.
Yep.
So that was good. I had Bridge Road, of course.
Of course.
Their Need Volume 4.
Yes. Okay.
And they've done this obviously fourth in the series, strangely. But I feel like they've kind of gone, for me at least, they've gone one being the best down to four.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a steady decline.
It's weird because it seemed like they're doing different types of IPA and exploring that. And they've kind of run out of ideas already because it went from like IPA to hazy IPA. No, was it? West Coast IPA first, was it? Then it was a hazy, then it was a NEIPA as well, though that's much of a mustness. And now it's a tangerine something from
Tangerine West Coast.
The tangerine West Coast. So
it felt very dry to me.
Mm.
It wasn't a bad beer.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as good as the others, I think. And it is I do enjoy the more like the fruitier flavours.
Yep.
Real flavor you get from like Galaxy hops or something like that, or Mosaic, whereas this one was it was almost like a double dry hop beer. So that one wasn't great. I did try their Magical Easter Unicorn Chocolate Ale.
Yes.
which they very courteously sent me a few extras.
That was nice.
They sort of had a bit of a competition, posted up my favorite Bridge Road beer, and they sent me a 4-pack, so that was nice.
Cool, that's awesome.
So that was cool, and it was they sort of said there was a few still lying around from Easter. Obviously, we're in July now.
What you could do, because I mentioned last week that Tinnies have a hot cross bun beer, so you can have your Easter unicorn beer with the hot cross bun beer. Yeah. It'd be like Easter in July.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think we can do something there. Yeah. We're onto something.
That might be a thing for next year's Easter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was about it for me.
I'll kick off. I've got to say, by the way, this is the hairiest podcast we've had so far. Like, well, Warren's sprouted a beard there. I'm a bit unshaven. Chris is, well, he's just a walking ball like hair anyway. Pity needs to lift up his beard game. He's too well manicured.
It's like someone's shaved eye holes into a bear.
Oh my God.
So what have I been drinking? I had one called Serpent's Kiss from Grifter Brewing. From Marrickville in New South Wales. This was a watermelon pilsner.
Interesting.
It was really nice. Mm. My only regret is that it wasn't a like 40 degree humid day in the middle of summer, because it was just really refreshing and clean and just super crisp. Like, it was just the watermelon just worked really well with it. Mm. Watermelon seems to work well with beer. I don't know why there aren't more sort of watermelon themed beers. Keeps in blood orange and stuff, which I don't seem to like much. Yeah, and guava. Right.
Guava. And,
Wax of watermelon in there. That'd be nice. Mm.
The real watermelon, not the...
Yeah, not the fake one. Not the candy one. Tall Boy and Moose. I had their Cherry Nice Cola Sour.
I think they actually had that at Gabs, but I didn't get to try it.
Yeah, that was... it's probably the better of the cola-themed beers I've had, but it's not an outstanding field yet. So it was okay. Is the best of this little category that's come through. I think breweries is a new thing for them to experiment with. So yeah, it's fine. I had Sea Legs Mellow Out Bro. This was their marshmallow boysenberry tart beer. And that was really good.
Interesting combo.
It was the marshmallow is kind of is a bit woofy in there. You didn't really stand out too much. Just because the boysenberries were quite prominent and like sour and tart and had that all sort of stickiness to it. But it was really nice, really enjoyable, that one. Mm. Also the Mismatch Chocolate Malt Shake Stout. Mm. I've always pondered why there aren't more Milo-themed beers in Australia. It just seems like it's...
That's a good point.
It just seems like some of the breweries would have a crack at, and this is what this pretty much is. It's...
Could be a licensing issue.
Well, yeah, they steer clear that they didn't make it look like a Milo can, so they steer clear of that one. But it was quite nice. It had like the distinct Milo maltiness to it and a bit of chocolateness, and it was quite nice. So, I did have Brisbane Brewing Co. reached out on my social and said they actually did a Milo beer last year. Right. So there are a couple that sort of float around. So it's something that I want to see more of, because I think it's a field that could be experimented with, could be something interesting.
What about an Ovaltine beer?
I've never had an Ovaltine.
You've never had Ovaltine?
You haven't lived.
I have. I've lived. Back on the boat. I've lived quite a few years without it. No, New Zealand's always Milo or Bournvita. That was it. So
it's the same as that Bournvita.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Don't know. I've never tried.
Does Bournvita have an orange packet with a weird dude on it?
No, I can't remember. I think it was yellow. I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's the equivalent.
I remember it's orange. I can't remember. It's been a while.
Ovaltine's
anyway.
The other one I want to mention. I popped down on the way home from work. Ballistic. They had an Imperial Brown Ale, which was 11.8%. This was a leftover keg from the Dark Beer Festival a few weeks back or something like that. Mm. It was really interesting. I liked it, but I didn't fall in love with it. It was really intense, like sort of raisiny and dried fruit kind of sort of flavours to it. Really boozy. It's one of the ones that they don't serve you any more than like just a stemless wine glass. They give a little bit of it there. It was really nice. I enjoyed it, but it was almost... It's almost a little too challenging to drink. Like the dry fruit flavors were so prominent and so boozy, you just kind of sip away. It's nice, but it's nowhere near as good as the coup de grace from last year. I think that's sort of the direction they're trying to go with it.
Yeah,
but it just wasn't the same sort of category. So
that kind of that gives me the shits when you go to a bar and they're like, "Well, it's 14%. We can't serve you more than a pot."
I'm
like, "Don't fucking tell me how to moderate my drinking."
Yeah.
If I want 8 standard drinks and a single beer, give it to me.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you can probably, I know a lot of places you can order a 250ml glass of wine. That's normally about 13%. So why can't I have a large serve of,
well said,
boozy beer?
Yeah. Give me a pint of red wine. Yeah.
Imagine that. And if I do accidentally ask for a schooner, don't laugh at me. I did that with the coup de grace last year. I can't have a schooner coup de grace. So, no. He's like, why not? You can't handle your beers.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Well,
Chris.
Had a couple. So much for dry July. That's non-existent.
I had a dry morning on the 1st of July, and that was probably about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Dry July.
What? Exactly.
I think what it means is Chris hasn't watered his lawns at the front for a couple of days.
Yeah, I haven't actually.
No, I've noticed.
I haven't. I went to give Four Pines a bit more love, like to see if there's anything ever truly extra bad.
Mm.
I tried their Four Pines Refreshing Ale.
Mm-hmm. Was it refreshing?
Yes.
Was it ale-y?
It was ale-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it piney?
Was it piney at all? For $11.
Now, were you drinking this because you're such a big Manly Sea Eagles fan?
No, not at all. Even though, yeah, they are made in Brookvale.
And they sponsor Brookvale now.
Yeah, that's
true
too.
Four Pines Park.
Yeah, yeah. $11 a schooner. I don't know if that's generic everywhere, but I would not pay $11 a schooner for it.
Mm.
Yeah, that seems...
That's a lot for just the refreshing ale.
It was 4.1%, I think, at the top of my head, without having it up front.
Yeah.
But I understand what they were trying to do. Like, it's an Australian ale.
Yep.
Yeah, prior to Ringwood is the predominant hop in there, which is... an Australian hop. It just tasted like a 4X Gold, but better.
Was it along the lines of like a Furphy?
I actually like Furphy better.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Furphy's called a refreshing ale as well. I was wondering if they've gone the same theme as the Furphy's.
Who knows what the actual true market value of Furphy is, because it's on special wherever you go. I understand what they're doing. I wouldn't pay $11 for it. I would pay maybe $6 for a schooner if I'm having a session at the pub. But
it seems like it's supposed to be a beer for the common person that doesn't like craft beer.
Yeah.
But then they charge it at craft beer prices.
Craft beer prices. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. I couldn't say it.
And would person who doesn't like craft beer, would you like this crafty beer that's $11 a schooner, or would you like a VB, which is $7 a schooner? Is it?
I would have chosen the Victor.
Yeah.
But only because of the price point. But other than that, it is a refreshing ale. Like, if you mowed the lawn, it's a hot summer's day, and you wanted to pound 12 of them or something.
I thought you got
to
pound something else, but that's fine.
This sausage. We'll get to that later. you could easily have a session on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, $11 a schooner, no deal.
Yeah. There you go.
That's all I'm going to roast.
That's all.
Yeah,
all
right. I just wanted to roast one.
Yep, fair enough.
I'm thirsty.
I'm very thirsty. So yeah, let's kick on to show and tell.
Yeah, right.
All right, time to kick off a show and tell. Before we get there, I just want to mention we're doing something different today as well. I've brought along some bear snacks to go on with our tasty beverages. Have some tasty bear snacks. So today's bear snack of choice is from Schultz's Butchery here in Queensland. And we're having a bit of a Shiraz and cracked pepper mitwurst sausage.
Yeah.
I've poured out my big old sausage and slapped it down on the table, and the boys are having a feast on it. So. Yeah.
It's pretty tasty.
It is pretty tasty, isn't it?
It's got a big smell to it.
We've had it on the table this whole time, and it certainly packs a fragrant punch.
Yeah, it's aromatic.
It's distracting.
It's very...
First thing I noticed about it, really, is the smell.
But yeah, so these are good. Like, I've always known I'm going to eat while I'm talking. Real professional, Russ.
Yep.
Is that what
didn't think
about?
This through, did we?
No, not at all. I just wanted an excuse to eat more sausage, so... There's an outcut.
Yeah, I've heard that about you.
That'll end up on the virtual Russ app if we ever miss a show. But yeah, I've always seen the packaged meat of the bottle shop and stuff like that. Who the hell would buy sausages from the bottle shop? Turns out me.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and the beer we're drinking along with us at the moment. So, Chris, what do you got?
Today, I thought I'd bring a bit of a people's choice. And I've got the Bolter Captain Sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Figured I'll go with a mid-strength one that new emerging crafty drinkers probably would, be drawn to in a way. So, what we're looking for with a bit of a blog, it says, Sensible like contributing to your super fund. Right. Okay.
if I picked a beer up and the first sentence said something about super fun, now I'm out.
I just want to forget about that sort of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, damn it. Anyway, with the pleasure of riding a supercharged jet ski. Now we're talking.
Hey, there we go. I should have started with it. Should have opened with that.
Oh, yeah. This ale balances refined malt undertones against a Vicacious hop notes to round out a full taste and mouthfeel, I should say, that defies its mid-strength nature. Perfect for those who like to keep a lid on it, but still want to crack the top off a couple. Oh. Good work, guys.
Nice.
No, I've been keen to try this. Find a full-flavoured mid-strength beer is, I think, a massive market where some of these crafties should sort of sit at.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of craft brewers these days are trying to explore that and try and make different style beers. Like, you know, last year we had the East Point from Stone and Wood, which is a very full-flavoured beer.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the old-school classics is Rogers from Little Creatures, which is still probably one of the best mid-strength beers going around.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know if I've tried that.
Really? Oh, really good. It's just tastes like an amber ale. And the smart thing is they don't market it as being a mid-strength beer.
Yeah.
They just put it out, it's called Rogers, and just, you know, oh, by the way, it's 3.5%.
Yeah, okay.
Right, yeah. Mm.
Mm. All right, boys, here we go.
Yeah, cracking.
How popular is this? Because,
well,
don't stop pouring, but, you know, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, don't stop pouring into our wibbly wobbly Macca's glasses that Chris has provided us with today. If you buy a... you get free with McDonald's.
They don't need it.
They might be struggling these days. No one buys Macca's anymore, do they?
No.
So these are these glasses that don't sit flat on the table. So Chris is already known for like spilling beer on the microphone. Now we're giving him an uneven glass with beer in it. So
I think it'll go well.
So next week we're recording the show on pepper cups and string.
Just out of curiosity, how is Red Rooster still a thing?
Money laundering
front. I was going to say, is that a money laundering front?
Well, it's the less guilty fast food. Because it's good. Yeah, well, it's barbecue chicken versus, like, you know,
it's all burgers. Fried now, so,
well, they got fried chicken there now.
Yeah, they've got awesome wings.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since I've been there, but my thoughts are I'd rather shit in my hands and clap.
I quite like it. I quite like Red Rooster. So.
All right.
I normally have that when I get sick of eating Guzman and Gomez.
Yeah, I usually go to pizza then.
Yeah, no, so I've gone off pizza the last few years. So.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, pizza in Queensland, controversial, is shit.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
Right? Yeah. You've got Domino's or you've got crust. So you've got like absolute cardboard crap.
Yeah.
What's crust?
Crust is like this pompous bullshit one with like sprinklings of... I don't know, hipster shit.
Yeah. Dried flakes of hipster shit.
Yeah. It's.
I'll tell you a good one, actually. There's a place called, I've got to plug them because we use them at my work, Pizza in a Hurry in Forest Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
They're an ex-Eagle Boys place, and they do really good pizzas.
Yeah,
okay. They are really good.
The other one I found is they've got two locations, one in Chermside and one in Yeronga, which is Three Black Bears. And they do a pretty good, like a proper traditional pizza, Australian pizza, for about 10, 12 bucks.
Mm. Well, speaking of good pizza, let's try the beers.
Yeah, anyway.
Balter, the Captain Sensible, $5.20 a unit for one can, anywhere from $15 to $16 a four-pack.
It's quite... strongly aromed. Like it's not shy at presenting its flavours there.
Mm.
Ooh, there you go, I've already spilled it.
And it was a light frothy head too, which is pretty good.
Yeah. And standard kind of like...
I want to get some better lighting in here because last week we had the tinnies. And remember, if you look at the shade of the tinnies last week...
Yeah.
And it's a similar beer.
Mm.
Yeah.
This isn't a hazy, so it's not as hazy as the tinnies, but it's still got a bit of haze in there.
But the tinnies last week was so translucent opposed to this darker shade here. So
you're right. The colour of the tinnies was actually it's almost like the colour of the page of the book there. Like it's like, you know, faded book pages.
Yeah.
Like,
diluted piss.
Yeah, you know, we need to get a go to Bunnings and get one of the colour charts.
Yeah, we could actually...
And compare the beers to the colour charts on the Dulux colour palette.
Maybe we get Dulux to sponsor us.
Anyway, let's
that give would it actually work well.
It would.
We'd be like, oh yeah, we're looking at Golden Sunset.
Yeah. Sandy Coral is the colour today.
Axe Wound Red.
Too far.
At least he didn't say monthly red. That's something else.
Fuck yeah, I just took a look.
Yeah.
So this beer is meant to be enjoyed really, really chilled.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good on the nose. I'm finding a very light body, a little bit of finish, not too much.
Yeah.
It's better than the Four Points Refreshing Ale.
Would you pay $11 a scooter for this?
No.
No, neither. No. It tastes all right. Like it tastes probably exactly what it is. It's a mid-strength version of XPA, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just watered down.
Yeah. Light on the flavour. Like, considering the aroma and the colour, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It's not a bad beer.
Yeah.
It's
just not striking flavour-wise.
It's just not punching hard, but it's still showing that there's flavour in it. It's not watery.
No.
It's not the... Like, you know, I've complained about a lot of mid-strength beers being watered-down versions of other beers and it just don't taste like anything. This, yes, it's a cut-down version of one of the other beers, but it still holds its own flavour-wise. Mm. So it's still presenting, like, you know, quite a bit of hoppiness in there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hard thing to master, though. A full-flavoured mid-strength beer.
Mm.
And I think, not saying it's perfect for that.
No.
But they're on the right track.
Well, it comes down to the process, doesn't
it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the reduction of...
Yeah.
Alcohol sugar, makes more flavour.
Yeah.
And generally the ones that are better are the ones that are purpose designed to be mid-strength, not just let's take this one beer and just take some of the booze out of it.
Yeah, like
exactly. The other ones that sort of suffer. You know, again, going back to the dark days of, you know, Hahn Premier Light and Cascade Light and, you know, VB Gold. Crap like that. Mind you, VB Gold's not working off a great formula to start off with. So.
No.
It's like a steak without salt.
Mm.
Or proper seasoning.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
Still tastes like steak, but it's not at its full potential.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Mm. Well, the hoppiness is there. Like if you were, you know, having to, you know, drink sensibly,
it's definitely
you're not going to get sick. You're not going to, after two cans, you know, feel like you're drinking water. You're still, you know, drinking beer that tastes like beer.
Yeah.
And it tastes like, you know, pretty good beer.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, thoughts?
I don't know. Who wants to go first?
I think Warren does.
Yeah.
How did you know? look, I think it's a beer that, you know, I'd be happy drinking all day. It's probably not a beer that I'd pick up to go, this is a beer I'm going to enjoy.
Mm.
But fit for purpose.
Yeah.
It's fit for purpose.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beer for purpose. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's enjoyable. So I think it does well. Mm. How much do I like it, though?
Mm.
You didn't have the tinnies last week, so...
I didn't.
No.
No.
Mm. I only picked up when we're doing 10-point scale again now.
Mm.
A 10-point scale.
10-point.
10-point, right. Yeah.
10-point.
Cool. 10-point. What?
Far out, man. You've gone back to Kiwi land for 2 weeks and we can't understand you.
Yeah, sorry. I keep mumbling and talking too fast. And the idea of the scale is just to 10 points, no half marks, but Pity couldn't last like 2 beers and he went straight to the half mark. So.
Literally 2 beers.
Yeah.
Fuck, he's nowhere sometimes.
So we're done 5-point scale, no half mark for, you know, 6 months. We just changed to 10, no half marks. Yeah, all right. I'll give that one a 6.5. Oh, God damn it. Come on, man.
Yeah, he's just doing it to shit you. I think it's a 5.
Mm.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's middle of the range. It's not exciting, but it's not bad. I'd pick it up and drink it again. So,
Yep.
Yeah, circumstantial on purpose.
Mm.
You go, Russell?
I'll probably give it a 6, just because I had the tinnies last week at a 5, and that was flavourless, you know, mild flavoured, and it shouldn't have been.
Mm.
This has more flavour, and it's mid-strength.
Yeah.
So... And because if this was a full strength, like 5.5-6% beer, I'd probably drop it down to a 4 or 5. But because that's not what it is. This is a mid-strength beer, and for a mid-strength beer, it's all right.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a 6.
Mm.
I like what you had.
Mm.
Yeah. This ticks a lot of boxes. You know, at your local, you can pick it up anywhere, which is pretty convenient. Like anywhere predominant mid-strength beer with plenty of flavour. It's $5 a unit, you know, 15, 16 bucks a 4-pack, which is pretty good if you go to someone's house for a barbecue or something like that and you've got to drive.
Mm.
Again, good flavour. Definitely, I'll give it a 5. Mm. Now, you know what? I'll change it. I'll actually give it a 6 just because the tinnies is in the same sort of category.
Yep.
And I would pick that over a tinnies.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a very similar price point too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just want to mention that we've also got for snacks here today. We've got some a bowl of beetroot chips that none of us have actually bothered touching yet. If you didn't tell us they were beetroot chips, it looks like a bowl of jerky. You said, well, do you want some jerky?
Oh, now I'm disappointed. I want jerky.
It's beetroot.
Well, you can bring some to the next podcast.
It's beetroot jerky.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Cool. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, next up on Show and Tell, I have got a beer from Marrickville, New South Wales. I mentioned these guys before with a Serpent's Kiss watermelon beer. This is from the Grifter Brewing Company. This is Acid Drop Hoppy Sour Beer.
Mm.
It's 4.3%. We've got a pale hoppy sour beer bursting with fresh tropical fruit punch flavour. Yeah.
Descriptive.
Yeah. Mm. I really dig these guys sort of. Can have gone sort of old school, like, you know, 60s roadhouse kind of tattoo parlor style. And but yeah.
Haven't Garage Project got an Acid Drop?
They do. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head.
Mm.
But yeah, they got a hoppy sour kind of zesty, yeah, like citrusy kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost like a sherbety kind of like flavor to it from memory. Is it electric something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. I'll see how this goes anyway. Right. So, let's unleash the Kraken.
Yeah, the can art's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And I dug the one for the Serpent's Kiss was like a snake wrapped around or coiled around a slice of watermelon in the same sort of style. So.
And this one's like a cat? Puma, maybe?
Yeah, it's like a
panther, maybe.
I think it's supposed to be a panther, like a deliberately, like, oddly drawn panther kind of thing. But
yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is Marrickville Brewing, is that like a collaboration? Is it a brewery?
No. So this is the brewery is called The Grifter.
Oh, okay.
So Marrickville is like a massive hub of. Okay, it's a suburb in Aussie Sydney that just seems to be like where all the craft breweries are.
Hmm. Maybe it's a hipster suburb.
Yeah, well, very much so, because I know these guys from there. Willie the Boatman's from there. Mm. I think Source Brewing based there as well. And okay. Yeah, there's quite a few that's.
I'll just give a shout out to Dave's Brewing Tours for being number one Google search when you look at Marrickville Brewers.
Cool.
Well played, Dave.
Well done. Do you have to be a Dave to go on that tour?
Beer tours with Dave.
Interesting colour.
Interesting smell too.
Hazy.
Ooh. I'm not sure about the smell.
Oh, that's
actually, I don't think I'm wrong. It's like lychee or something.
It's like old school lemonade. Like the Schweppes classic lemonade.
What kind of fucking idea do you have in Kiwiland?
No. Schweppes do, I don't know if they still do it. They have like one called old school lemonade. It's like, basically like some solo kind of lemonade. Yeah.
Yeah. Proper like pub
style. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely interesting.
Mm. But yeah, there's a bit of sort of fruity kind of flavour there as well, so.
It's definitely got a melony lychee under taste.
Wow, that's
no heartburn. We're winning.
No, it's sour. Well, it's hoppy and zingy at the same time. It's got sort of zesty zour to it.
What's that aftertaste?
That's what I think it is. Like it's lychee or melon or something like that.
I get it. It's definitely a sour. They tick that box. What percentage was it again, Russ?
4.3.
4.3 sour. I'm liking that. It's plenty of flavour. I'll give you that.
Mm.
Looks good. Had a light and frothy head on the pour.
Something you get. It tastes just really like hoppy solo.
With a bit of booze in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
Mountain Dew coming out with a trial flavour.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And this is what it is with tequila.
But then it's almost a victim from something. It's hoppy and sour. It's just, I kind of wish it went one more one way than the other. With a bit more sour, the zestiness, or a bit more hoppiness with the fruitiness. And it's kind of middle between the two sort of thing. Like it's.
I've got a problem.
Yeah.
I think I've got COVID.
You can't taste anything?
No.
No.
I thought you had a hair in your drink. So there, no, you can have COVID. That's fine. Oh no, I'm on the. It smells great.
Mm.
It looks good. I couldn't drink a lot of it.
No. It's one of the ones I wish the taste was more like what the smell, the aroma was. The smell, it smells like how the Garage Project One tastes.
Yeah.
Well, it's got that that sherby, citrusy kind of smell to it, but then that doesn't come through on the actual tasting of the beer.
Yeah. Okay.
Seems like a good brewery, though.
Yeah.
The Grifter Brewing Co. in Marrickville. Currently closed at the moment.
Now we know their postcode.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, all the city's closed at the moment.
Exactly,
so.
Right. I'm glad you picked up on that. But just looking at photos of the venue, it actually looks really cool. Looks like a nice place. I like the glassware they use. Look at that. Like little mini buckets.
Yep.
It's been dropped as
well. I have to say, the more this sits in the glass and the more I taste it, the less I'm enjoying it. Mm. It's the sourness is starting to creep up, and it's not the good sour, it's more like a sour kind of. Because at first it was kind of like a zesty kind of zing zing, but now it's it's lost its zing and it's kind of, it's old sour.
Yeah.
The hoppiness has kind of faded a bit now.
Yeah.
It's not one that, last week we had a couple of beers that aged in the glass and improved.
Yeah.
This is not aged well in the glass. And we haven't really been sitting, we haven't sat here for a long time. We've just been casually like sipping away at it. And,
ideally you meant to drink it ice cold.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean. But
it was like, cold though.
It was cold.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, how quick are you going to drink it? Like a full can,
yeah.
20 minutes?
Yeah, you would.
You're not going to get through it in 5 minutes, which is essentially what this has done.
Yeah. Right, 5 minutes ago, I would be probably more favourable about it. But as I said, as it's ages, it's kind of, I've lost something with it. So.
Well, this is where I go. Would you jump on a plane to go get it again?
No.
So it's not higher than an 8.
No.
Would you get it from your bottle shop again?
No.
So
it's probably not higher than a 5.
Not higher than a 5. Then.
No.
But it's not.
Would you
leave it at my fridge?
I would deliberately leave it in your fridge.
Ooh, so that's lower than a 3. I'd probably
bring it over from my house.
I'll grab 4-pack of that. I'll have one of that. Fuck, that's not very nice at all, actually. And then I go, anyway, I got to go. And I'll just accidentally, not really, leave it behind, and so I have an excuse to buy a different beer. So
yeah. I would go out of my way to bring it over and put it in your fridge.
Ooh, shit. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good.
This is gonna be low. Yeah.
Like I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm at a 2.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. It just, there was a lot of flavors. Maybe it was the flavor profile I didn't like, but there was a lot I didn't like about it.
I'm not going as low as that, because like I said, I did enjoy parts of it, but as the age got worse, I'll probably give it a 4.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably sort of smack bang in the middle there.
Mm.
It was a good colour, light frothy head, smelt great. The taste didn't match up to the smell.
No, which is a real shame. If the taste matched up to smell, it would have been a much higher mark.
It would have been a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it got diminished pretty quick. I'm actually going to give it a 3. How much did you pay for it?
Mm.
Can't remember.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, that's handy.
It was part of a 6-pack and I got 25% off. So,
gotcha. So, what would you say roughly?
Let's assume it's like between $5 and $7.
I think it was like $6 or $7.
Yeah, right. Mm. Okay, so that's a fair price, really. There's no more. Like, yeah, I'm gonna 3. That's a shame. It could look. They look like a great looking brewery.
I don't think we should judge the brewery based on this one.
Because
I think they've done some other great stuff.
Yeah. And look at their website. They're getting some great reviews. People talk about it.
They
just got it done.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's just not a beer that's obviously suited for what we like.
Yeah.
Exactly. From the beers, you know, I've had one of the other beers, which was the watermelon pilsner. That was really good.
Hmm.
And they got some really interesting beers. They're not just doing the same old thing. They don't just have, you know, a pale ale XBA and just for fun and games they throw in a pilsner. Well, they're actually trying some different things. So
they got a lychee dunkel, I think.
Yeah, no, they're just doing some cool stuff.
I made that up.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I was like, wow.
And I know they got a highly regarded oatmeal stout as well. Which, It's one of those ones that always like hovers over my my cart online. Or do I get that? Or
yeah.
So yeah, I'm still keen to try more of these guys' stuff, but just not that one again.
Yeah.
All right, but before we crack on to more beers to taste, let's have a look at the new brews coming to use. I've got something that's interesting actually, and I mean, I know we're a craft beer podcast. This actually isn't craft beer. But Hawkers Brewing, I think they're big in Victoria, whatever, they are releasing what's called Feedback Loop. Feedback Loop is a whiskey, of all things. It's distilled from one-year-old bourbon barrel-aged imperial stouts from their friends at Alchemy Distillers in Healesville, Victoria. After distillation, the new make spirit was transferred back into the very same cask that aged the stout from which it was distilled for an additional 2.5 years. So they basically made a whiskey from barrels used for aging stouts.
Hang on. So they've they've made a barrel-aged imperial stout?
Yes.
Using whiskey barrels?
Yes.
And then now reused those barrels to make a whiskey?
Whiskey, yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's a whiskey that's infused with whiskey-infused beer.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was like when I saw that, oh, that's a really, really interesting looking beer. Wait, that's not beer. It's like, it's a stout, barrel-aged stout-infused whiskey.
Yeah.
That's $120 a bottle.
Nice.
So
that's a reasonable price if it's a good whiskey.
It was good, yeah. So profile, dark chocolate and roasty malt sweetness, bold earthy tones, and notes of cherry, plum, and molasses.
Okay.
I thought that was interesting. Now, kind of sort of crafty beer related, so that's something. I also had to mention, just sticking with the whiskey stuff as well, something popped up on my feed last night. You can buy now from Dan Murphy's peanut butter whiskey.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, hello.
Actually, I think I need to address something.
Okay.
Last week, I think Anthony was ragging on Dan Murphy's, not because they are shit, but because their range of craft beers is basically like commercial craft beers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Dan's kind of bought craft beer from the into the fray.
Like, well, that's nice. Yeah. Dan's getting a lot of crap for, big corporate stuff. But, they sponsored the Gabs. They were first to market as far as the big corporate chains with craft beer. They were years ahead of, first choice and everyone else.
And
it was comparing them to, your looking legends in smaller bottle shops, but as a big, evil corporation bottle shop, it's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, but it was literally, now we've got a handful of a lot of different craft beer bottle shops, but those didn't exist 5, 6, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Dan's that kind of pioneered that.
Yeah. I'd say my main issue with Dan's, and probably the same with a couple of other bottle shops, is that so many of their craft beer, they keep on a shelf. That's weird. Yeah. It really, really annoys me, especially when you finish work, I just want to grab a 6-pack or 4-pack or something to go home and drink. And you go home and all the good beer is warm on the shelf. It's like, thanks.
And that's I'm sure it's a commercial decision.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, well, the majority of what we sell is 4X and Carlton Draft and whatever. That's what we're going to keep cold.
Yeah.
Because that's what, 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, that's what the tradies are coming in and buying.
And unfortunately, a lot of these older bottle shops, they aren't designed to have, 120 different varieties of IPA stored.
Yeah.
they are built to have, just pallet after pallet of, 4X Shithouse Pale or something like that. Or VB tastes like us.
But the other thing is, it's like a...
Is there one of your beers on it?
It's like a Bunnings or it's like a Coles where they've got merchandisers that come in and go, well, we're going to give you the best deal.
Yeah.
If you give us the prime position.
That's right.
That's entirely what it's about.
Yep.
And of course, Dan's, they're not about, pushing the boundaries with anything.
Yeah. They're not interested in selling Rangers new limited edition 4 cans of, whatever pale ale they've released for the week. So, they want big corporate things to sell at cheaper prices. So.
Yeah, they've got the power.
Yeah,
The big breweries have the power to push that. Anyway, I actually do have one.
Hey.
Yeah, Nomad Brewery.
Nomad Brewery, okay. Yeah.
They've got one called Powder Day Cookies and Cream Double Milk Stout.
I've seen this and I'm intrigued because it's a cookies and cream double milk stout, but then I lose interest because it's Nomad.
Fair enough. Yep.
I want to like, but I've been burnt by these guys too many times in the past, and it's just. And they got another Powder Day beer they've announced or just come out as well. And again, I looked at the, oh, that sounds interesting. Ah, Nomad.
I can't argue with that. That's about all I've got, though.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually got some news.
Oh. Breaking news with Chris from Next Door.
Is this about... Just in, Anthony's sex change has been a success.
Turns out they didn't have much to remove in the first place. Oh!
I was actually convinced it was
microsurgery.
Oh, that's bad. Poor guy. Yeah. So Chris, he's not here, you can just slam him.
Yeah, Chris thought he actually had a sex change. That was after he met him last week.
Still debatable.
One other beer, I did actually want to get back to the new breweries. One other beer I wanted to mention, Ether Brewing. The latest in the Oak and Organisms Stout. I've got to be really careful how I say that. So I don't say Oak and Organisms. They've got what's called Respite. It's a breakfast stout, 12-month barrel-aged imperial stout.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to try. I think I tried the brown ale and I wasn't fast.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting to try, but I wouldn't go back for it.
Yeah.
I tried the Balloon Advice as well. And
yeah. Maybe it was the sour I tried.
Yeah. Well, they're both sour. Like the brown was sour and the Balloon Advice was sour. And yeah, they're both interesting experiments, but not something that I'd go off and bite a carton off and start necking them. So.
It'd be interesting to see.
I guess this was the write up on barrel aged stuff. So. The respite. So pouring as thick and dark as moonless night, this breakfast stout delivers complexity from start to finish. The thick bronze-hued head gives the impression of the morning light breaking through the darkness. Oats, almond, biscuit, coconut, and dried fruit characters leave the aroma of a sweet oak character.
Yeah. That's some serious copywriting.
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one. And next week also the new Kronos comes out as well from Helios. Got delayed a couple of weeks. All right, time now for beer number three. Show and Tell. Wazza has brought mysterious beer today.
It is mysterious. It's in a stubby cooler.
Yep.
Not to give away any secrets, but...
Oh, I know what... this is, distinctive packaging in this one.
Very distinctive packaging. Yes. So I'll start off by saying it is a Bacchus Brewing Company beer.
Ooh.
This one is a Maple Coffee Reserve.
Ooh.
Which is a bourbon barrel-aged pastry stout.
Hello.
Yeah. And it's a modest 13.2%.
Oh, excellent.
They've got the Brewer's Ramblings on the back. So we've taken one of our customer favourites, the Maple Coffee Stout, and given it a pastry stout makeover. But we didn't stop there. We then aged the beer in freshly drained Woodford Reserve bourbon barrels. The resulting beer is a super smooth, sweet, full-bodied Imperial Coffee Stout.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm excited for this one. Yeah. I love how they take their already boozy beers and let's just make it boozier and put it sticking in a barrel as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a sucker for a barrel-aged beer.
Yep.
I really love the flavours that come out of them. No surprise, I like whiskey. So.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to try this and sort of see what it's
absolutely.
Okay.
All right, Batches Brewing, Capella Bar. Brisbane.
So looking at the beer in our wibbly-wobbly McDonald's glasses, it's kind of a
very
deep brown. There's not a lot of head going on there.
Trying to get some head on this one. Pull it back.
Yeah, no.
There's
nothing. No, there's no head going on.
Fuck.
It is what? Was that 13.6%? So yeah.
It's like bubbles. I reckon this is dark.
Holy shit!
There's a lot of coffee.
What's this called again?
It's the Maple Coffee Reserve. Okay. I reckon this is as dark as the Mariana Trench.
It's
all right. Big smell.
Big smell.
I smell chili though.
I smell coffee.
Yeah, I got coffee.
My little alarm bell is signaling though. It's tasting like brewed American coffee rather than
there's like a spice to it.
Grinded coffee. So that I know I had one of their coffee beers a while back, which might have been like the non-imperial version of this one maybe, and that was designed to be an American coffee style, and they used American coffee as well.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
It's definitely coffee.
That's intense. Yeah. It's got a real big boozy. Again, it's nearly 14%, so it's going to have a big boozy kick. The one bit I love, though, is you get the coffee coming screaming through with its like bitterness and roastiness, and you get the booze comes through. Then right at the end, you get this little slither of like maple syrup that comes through. It's okay.
Takes
away the bitterness. Yeah, it's like screaming and hurt. Oh, the pain is too much. And the maple comes through. It's all right. Just chill.
Just chill.
Just calm. Calm. A little book of calm. It's calm, not... Yeah.
to be honest, in terms of, you know, when people get... I think the actual saying is meme beers, you know, they make beers that are like a bit gimmicky.
Yeah.
I don't think this is gimmicky, even with maple and coffee. This is actually a pretty good combo.
No, the gimmicky beer would just be like boozy and that's about it. Just, like the, really F-18, like some of the, those ones.
Yeah.
This, yes, it's big and boozy, but it's got the other flavours coming through to like back it up.
That maple is the perfect complement.
Yeah.
Is that the right word? For this beer.
Yeah.
The without the maple, I probably wouldn't enjoy this beer as much.
It'd be shit.
The maple is needed to like it kind of smooth things over and help it out and brings it all together. So
I'm getting some of that tingliness you get after your mates just poured you a bourbon and coke.
Yes. Like,
you know, they've gone a bit heavy handed and you get that tingliness in your mouth.
Yeah. Just look at it's a really curious colour. Like, it's not a black colour. It's literally just a very dark brown.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of that muddy, murky, espresso sort of like like brewed coffee kind of look. And
it's good.
I'm a fan of it.
They
I don't say that lightly. You know that.
They just know how to just inject so much bloody flavour into a beer. Like, that's all they care about. Just bring the flavour, and if it's 14%, that's what it needs to be.
And I think, I think they don't do the high ABV stuff for the sake of it.
No.
It's just like, that's what it needs to be.
It's what the beer needs to be.
And everything they do matches the label.
Yeah.
It's got that Russian imperialness to it.
Yeah.
It's got the maple, it's got the coffee, it's got that bourbon barrel age flavour to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's so much complexity to it.
And I will correct myself, it does taste like good coffee as well. It doesn't taste like the cheap American crap.
Yeah, yeah. It's not percolated stuff.
A pellet of international roast.
Me with Nescafe. No, we use the good stuff. It's called Makona.
No, it's Blend 43. I saw the ad.
So I'm glad I brought beer snacks today. Cause
definitely needed it.
This on an empty stomach would be, we don't have to drive today.
No, that's true too. It's pretty good. We can have kick-ons.
I did warn you.
Yeah.
It's good though. I'm glad when Russell said that you're bringing a big banger.
Mm.
Big booze bust.
Normally in Australia I go, beer is meant to be beer.
Mm.
I'm actually glad you brought that because that is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like, I know we say it a bit, but you know, you can just sit and enjoy it. You don't have to smash it.
You don't need to smash
it. That's exactly it. Yeah. It's so intense. You just need to take a little sip of it and you enjoy it. And the flavor just stays with you. It stays with you. Yeah. And then you get the maples. You go back and it should last you a while sitting there sipping away.
It's a sipping beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You do yourself an injustice by drinking it quickly.
Hmm. Well, if you hammer it, it's one of them things where you go, well, let's tell my mate to do something really stupid.
Yeah.
And gonna regret it. Well, you might regret it.
Why not? Yeah. Well, if you want to do that shit, just buy Fireball whiskey or something.
So if you're under 28 and you're still into stupid shit, buy a 6-pack of that and see how your night goes. But if you like beer and you're over 28, not to stereotype, it's good to sit down and after Christmas dinner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Get your feet up and you just want to split a can with a friend.
I actually think this would be a hard beer to have after you've had a big feed, though.
Yeah, it's very heavy. It's and it's not a one. I've had 13 beers. This would be number 14. You don't want that. My third and final beer of the night. Bedtime after this.
Insane. My Christmas is a sort of.
So if you like me, probably bedtime halfway through, then I wake up. Oh shit! I had a beer there somewhere.
My Christmas is a sort of gone away from the mass consumption of beers to more like better beers.
Yeah.
Spaced out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be the 8 o'clock one.
Yeah. Well, it's getting, you get the bigger bottle beers and it's kind of heading that territory of, it's not, grab a 6-pack and throw a can a lot too. You get a 750 mil something and then, grab a glass and share it around the table sort of thing. Like, it's getting sort of that sort of thing. Like, beer taking the place of what wine used to be or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it probably still is.
This is nearly port.
Yeah.
but tastier.
Yeah.
It's good. It's thick, rich, and bold. Now, the smell nails. Oh, you don't smell the maple, though. You smell the coffee.
No, you smell the coffee, but.
Yeah. Which is a refreshing change, really.
Yeah. It has a really good maple syrup they use in this as well.
Yeah. Like,
It's, you find it's like the stuff from Aldi.
Yeah.
International roast and Aldi maple syrup.
This is real maple syrup. It's from Switzerland.
We should hit. What's his name again? Who's the guy that brews at Batches? We met him before.
Vegas? Ross.
Ross, that's yep. right. I was going to say Russell. I'm like, no, this is all right. Should hit him up and say, what coffee do you use? And is it true that your maple syrup comes from Aldi?
Ross, if you're listening, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Scores?
This is going to be a banger for me. Put it that way.
Yeah.
This is the redeemer
yep.
of the day. So
it is definitely the it's clearly the best beer of the day.
Sorry, Pity, your dark beer last week was shit in comparison to this one.
it's very good. It's not quite.
Would you jump on a plane to go and get it?
Well, I wouldn't do that for any beer.
If you're Jeff Bezos, would you jump on a plane to go and get it?
No, I'll get someone else to get it for me.
There you go. So it's up there. It's up there.
But I'll do that for everything. Like, I'll get someone to get a pizza for me. I'll get someone,
Yeah. If you were Jeff Bezos.
The plane analogy doesn't work for me because I wouldn't do that for. There's not many things I would do that for.
I fell off the toilet again. Help me up.
It's more, to put it in real world terms, would I drive all the way from Springfield to Capella Bar to pick up some of these? Yeah, I probably would. That's a long way to drive.
You know what?
It's even longer when you get lost, like I do every time.
It's an hour. What is it? Hour 20?
Yeah, hour and a half.
What?
Yeah,
you guys reversing there?
Tunnels. Reversing.
Yeah. So my Google always does the whole thing. Take the next left in 500 meters. Take the next left now. So shit, I missed that. Okay, it's fine. Just take the next right, the next left, right, left, right. Take a U-turn, left, right, and we're back to where you were 30 minutes ago. Oh, thanks Google. Thanks a lot.
You love it.
And if it's my Google, then halfway through it tells me like the recipe for a good roast pork as well.
And that's our sponsor for the week, Google.
Yeah. Thanks, Google.
Thanks, Google.
Cool. So back to scores.
Back to scores. It's close to a 10, not quite a 10. I'll give it a 9.
Remember, 10's perfect.
Yeah. And I compare it because the other Backers beer we've had on the show, the Ab Fabergé. I line them up together, and I prefer Ab Fabergé just because it was a smoother beer. Like, this is very boozy. It's really enjoyable, and it's close to being 10 out of 10, but just short. I'll give it a 9. Plus, I'm also making it harder to get a perfect score at the moment, so that's...
You know, I'm notorious at not giving perfect scores.
Good. Yes. I love that. That's where it should be. Nothing well, perfect.
But you don't interrupt before the but.
Damn it!
But this is everything that I enjoy in a good sipping beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's got that coffee that real sweetness to it. It's heavy. It's full of flavor, complexity. It's got that bourbon aged flavor to it as well. Look, it's all day long. It's a 10 for me.
Wow! First perfect score.
Mm. In this season.
This season, yeah. Mm. But to be honest, it is a good beer.
Mm.
I like dark beers traditionally, even though I keep bringing light shit beers to the thing, but that's just for purely content for you guys out there. This is actually tasty. Yeah, same thing. I've touched it before.
Mm.
It's perfectly balanced. You can't drink a lot of it, but in circumstance, it's not something you're going to have a session on ever.
Well, it's a session in the can by itself.
Basically, it's at the end of the night. You know what I mean?
It's a nightcap.
Yeah, like it's literally a nightcap. Yeah, share with your neighbour.
Actually, I wouldn't.
But
if I knew you were coming over, this would get moved to like three shelves down behind the cauliflower. Like,
you'd be hiding it in your washing machine.
I've got a safe in my house.
I've got a top shelf with all my beers there. This is getting put behind the milk or something like that. Chris is there. He's not saying I'm going that.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? It is a cracking beer, and We probably should do some more with Bacchus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, but I didn't say that. You know, I don't like mean beers. Yeah, you know, like the shitty pickle juice crap that you get into. But I'm 100% going to give it a 9.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what the price of what was the price of it.
Like, I bought it from a bottle shop. It was $17.
Which something like that is worth it.
Yeah.
And it's not for the everyday Forex Gold drinker. This is actually for someone that really enjoys a good beer. Mm. So $17, I reckon it's a fair price. When you're paying $25, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Especially
when it's like, you know, A Month of Sundays by Mr. Banks in it.
Yeah, 100%. Like and I would drive across town to get them. That's a biggie. Yeah, definitely 9. I can't believe I'm calling it a 9, but that's definitely 9.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think this is what encompasses a $15 plus beer for me.
Yeah.
It's everything that you go, wow, that was amazing. I really enjoyed drinking that.
Yeah.
You don't want to walk away going, that really?
Mm.
What? How is that different from the $10 beer that I bought the other day?
Yeah. Like, it's a unique experience by itself, and it's worth that. Whereas, you know, paying, you know, $15 to $18 for just another IPA or just another hazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly, it's good. Right. It's good, but the Hell's is different from a cheaper beer.
Yeah.
West City Brewing. They got an IPA, which is like, you know, I think $7 or $8 from First Choice is just as good as many $18 beers. So what am I getting extra from an $18 beer compared to that?
Yeah.
Whereas compare this beer to, you know, an $8 porter or a stout or something like that from First Choice. It doesn't appear. Well, isn't it a completely different league, this beer?
Yeah. No, definitely. It's they've done really well.
Yep.
All right. That's pretty good. So definitely beer of the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
But far and away.
Well, there wasn't much competition.
Yeah.
Well, the one you brought was a fucking bloody Captain Sensible beat it.
So I'm just glad I brought it here so I don't have to drink it by myself.
That was the ploy all along.
Yeah, what shit have I got here? I'm going to palm off all these guys. That's all we have time for on this episode of Pour It On Man. I've been Russell.
I've been Wazza.
I'm Chris.
And we'll catch you next time.